Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What a night last night was. I mean, my God, the Islanders are down before you can get your ass comfortable. Sorokin gets pulled. They try to come back. After they go back to Varley, they lose anyway. They're down 3-0. The Knicks and the Sixers had quite a festival last night of early reviews, seeing if things are flagrant. It's a really dirty, dirty game that led to Philadelphia getting back in the series at 2-1. And then you had the New York Giants selecting Malik Nabers and the New York Jets doing the thing I actually wanted them to do most. Go get more line help. And they did that with Olu Fashanu out of Penn State University, and I was thrilled about it. And to every Jet fan who's like, they need a receiver, they got to give Aaron Rodgers more weapons, this guy may not even help them this season, here's why, respectfully, you are wrong. I'll tell you why. The thing that can derail the Jet season in 2024 is their offensive line, is the fact that they are relying on Tyron Smith, and I love the signing, but Tyron Smith has missed significant amounts of time over the last 4 years. He is the left tackle. If he goes down, you need to protect yourself. And I think by going out and drafting a stud, maybe the best left tackle in the draft, who, by the way, will learn how to play right tackle, and who knows, maybe ends up playing right tackle if something happens to Morgan Moses, or there's other issues that causes the Jets to have to alter their offensive line. This is a guy who, yes, you're right, in theory, if everything's perfect, and that means everything's perfect, he doesn't play this season. But in a more realistic scenario, they need him. Because they cannot let this offensive line and the protection of the 40-year-old quarterback coming off a torn Achilles, they can't let that derail the season.
Yeah.
So I love the move. I think they also realize once Rome Odunze was taken right before them and once Malik Nabers was taken by you guys a few picks earlier and obviously Marvin Harrison Jr., that there was a little bit of a drop-off when it came to wide receivers. And I think that they liked Brock Bowers, but I think that they preferred getting a stud offensive lineman who could potentially help them this year. And yeah, by the way, the added bonus, and I haven't even brought this up yet because this isn't my focus, is your left tackle of the future.
Yeah.
And gets to potentially sit for a year, again, only if things break right. So I don't agree with the notion that this is a move for a guy that may not help you this year. He may be very important this year because who knows how healthy the Jets are going to be.
Yeah, it's really hard when you have a team that has felt like a win now, we can possibly potentially get to a Super Bowl to draft a future all-time left tackle, right? That's what this feels like with Fashanu. But you're right, especially with a team that has some injuries around the offensive line, and it's been, I don't want to say the biggest issue, but it has been an issue.
Yes.
For the Jets. It's not like the Giants issue has been at offensive line, but it's damn near close with the pressures and sacks that were allowed. Again, some of those were on the quarterbacks after Aaron Rodgers was hurt, but still, anytime you can draft an offensive lineman and you believe that he's going to be one of the best in the game when he finally plays, it's hard to say, that was a wasted pick. It's just hard to. Because at some point, you know he's going to be significantly important to this team.
You said something, and this is purposely why it wasn't the first thing out of my mouth, because it's not my focus. And that is, hey, they just drafted the left tackle of the future. And that's great. I mean, that's fantastic that in a year when Tyron Smith is off of his one-year deal, there's a really good chance the Jets are going to say, you know what, we can use assets elsewhere, we can use money elsewhere, because really, really, we really believe in Foschino, and he's our left tackle, and that's it, and we'll call it a day. But that's not the number one thing that made this move make sense. What made it make sense is that you need to protect yourself. The Jets this offseason went out and made moves that improved the roster, Tiki, but they did it on a fine line of guys who have injury history.
Yeah.
And my argument on why it still made sense was, look, a guy like Tyron Smith is not becoming available if he doesn't have an injury history, right? Like,
true.
It's connected. But
right.
You need to protect yourself. You can't go into a season with, he better stay healthy. He better stay healthy. He better stay healthy. You have to have a backup plan. And they just gave themselves a pretty freaking good backup plan that, I hate to say it, is more likely than not going to have to be used. And that's why I lead with why I love this pick. Not because he's going to be a great left tackle in 2025 or 2026. That's great. But I lead with the fact that he protects this offensive line this season in a win-now year.
Yeah, but it protects them from having to move AVT, Elijah Vera Tucker, to tackle again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should one of those guys get hurt, and we know what that's done. I mean, moving him around, I can't say it led to his injury, but or injuries over the last couple of years, but it hasn't been helpful to have your should-be, you know, Pro Bowl right guard moving all over the place because you've had injuries elsewhere. So this gives you depth that's necessary. But it doesn't address the fact that as much as we love Garrett Wilson, as much as you can applaud the signing of Mike Williams, who was a cap casualty from the Chargers, but he's only on a one-year deal. He's coming off an ACL. The Jets still need more playmakers, right? Especially with a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, who depends on multiple guys.
Mm.
I guess we could say, you know, the Jordy Nelson years and even the Devontae Adams years, it's just one guy you need. But the reality is, it's not. You got to have multiple options, because it gets too easy in the NFL these days to shut down one player.
Yeah.
Or you know, cloud double one guy.
Well,
and if it's only one guy that you're worried about with Aaron Rodgers, not talking about the run game right now, just the pass game, then it gets challenging. And so the beauty of it, though, for this year's draft, is there are a ton of wide receivers.
Well, there's a lot of ways to continue to address this. You just hit it. Ton of wide receivers. Plus, Joe Douglas, I give him credit. And I don't know how anyone could be against this. He got the player he wanted and also added a fourth and fifth round pick by moving back one slot.
Right.
And I happen to be, because my main focus last night was obviously the Knicks and the Islanders. I have the draft on. Just tell me who got drafted. I don't need to see all the rigmarole that goes on in between. I caught a little bit of it. But I happened to catch something Daniel Jeremiah said right before the Jets made the trade. Daniel Jeremiah was on NFL Network and said, hey, guys, you know what I would do if I was Joe Douglas? And everybody's like, what? Well, what would you do? And Jeremiah's like, I would basically call these quarterback needy teams and say, hey, guys, I'm getting a lot of phone calls about 10. All right. You may want to make sure you get your guy by jumping up to 10 so you can get the quarterback, because we all saw the run on quarterbacks that were going on. Rich Eisen responds innocently, do you mean lie to them? And Daniel's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I'd lie to them. And within 5 minutes of that, the Jets moved back one slot with Minnesota so that they could get their quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. The Jets draft the exact same guy they were going to draft and get a fourth and fifth round pick. So I don't know if Daniel Jeremiah knew what was going on or if Joe Douglas said, ooh, that's a good idea, DJ.
Yeah,
let me follow that.
I'd tell you, though, Ev, I doubt it was lies. I guarantee you that the Denver Broncos were talking to the Jets.
Right.
I guarantee you that the Las Vegas Raiders were talking to the Jets. There's no doubt that they were. And so it maybe the likelihood that they were going to do those deals, maybe that was a little fibbed a little bit, but there's definitely people calling to move up, right? I think that happened all last night. It just never came to fruition for a lot of these situations.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, because we heard Adam Schefter say it. I mean, you didn't because you were watching the Knicks and the Islanders, but Schefter would say it every single time he'd get to the podium. Oh, there's a lot of thought about this team, whether it was the New England Patriots or the Arizona Cardinals or the Chargers, moving out of this slot, but they are staying pat, and they're going to draft whoever he would say.
The other reason I didn't see it is because I am loyal to the Shield, and when I watch the NFL draft, it is on NFL Network and not ESPN.
Network was not on the plane.
I had
to make do with what I was given.
Listen, I respect that. Now, Sean.
And by the way, I was like a minute and a half delayed. So I was getting it on my app on my phone before I got it on DVR.
Dude, that's
so
why I shut my phone down because I didn't want picks to be spoiled. Now, Sean, ESPN or NFL Network?
I am a 36-year-old man. You always go ESPN.
Really?
That's the nostalgia, the sounds, right. The primetime music, all of that. And I love Daniel Jeremiah on the NFL Network. I will have that on for round two tonight, but round one, got to go ESPN.
Interesting.
Right. Yeah, you got to get Mel Kiper.
Of course.
Mel Kiper.
Yes. Rockin' Eve and not having Dick Clark all those years.
So Big Blue VCR, who are great, by the way, they posted a video when I got drafted. And back in 27 years ago, as crazy as that is, 27 years ago, Big Blue VCR posted this thing about me getting drafted and the George Young, George must go. Go watch it. It's interesting. Like, you hear the chants because they drafted Ike Hilliard than me. And it was like, oh, Jim Fossil needs some playmakers. And it's Mel Kiper. Like, he's synonymous with the draft. And it's crazy how, like, his personality from years ago is still relevant now. And I don't know if you guys saw the McAfee thing. I didn't see it live, obviously. I saw it on rehab, retake. But Bill Belichick was real, like real. On McAfee.
I saw clips. He seemed pretty good.
Well,
shockingly, he didn't like the May pick.
Right.
Yes.
Right. He's like, May keeps comparing himself to Josh Allen. I don't know about that. It's just, it was great. But they also announced that he's going to be on every Monday. So your boy might not have his slot anymore.
Oh, no. Aaron popped on yesterday. Aaron Rodgers gave his reaction to the Foster New Pick.
He gave his reaction. Yeah. But is he going to do a weekly?
Of course.
Bill Belichick is now doing a weekly.
He ain't getting bumped for Bill Belichick.
I mean, are you sure?
You guys both missed the best part of the TV coverage with the Foster New Pick, though. How you know Fashion who's going to be a stud. He learned how to protect from his mother. His poor girlfriend tries to hug him and celebrate, and the mom completely rejects her three times from being able to get in there and grab her moment on camera.
I respect that.
That's amazing. That's awesome.
Now, I assume, Loogie, you're locked in on the Knick game. As a diehard Knick fan, dude's dog's damaged. There was some damage last night, so I think your prediction was relatively accurate. Mostly the damage was to Mitchell Robinson's ankle, but outside of that, there was damage. I assume you didn't watch the NFL draft.
No, I did. I watched it on my second television.
On NFL or ESPN?
No, I go ESPN. I got to have Mel Kiper Jr.
I'm really in the minority
on this.
It's
nostalgia. Yeah.
I don't know. I just think NFL Network's better. It's just the way I'm at.
And nobody's spoiling it for you, right?
Yeah, nobody was spoiling it. And look, I dipped in and out. Like, because to me, it was get me the picks, but I'm really focused on this Islander comeback and obviously the Knicks Sixer game. Just tell me who we got. Just tell me what
attempted,
happened.
You mean attempted comeback. Attempted comeback.
I said it. It was a comeback. They were down 3-0. It was 3-2. I mean, they came back. They just didn't win.
I was waiting for Watt to pull the goalie.
He did.
All they were talking. No. But like with 6 minutes to go.
Oh, look at you.
Because they were talking about how revolutionary he is.
Well, hold on.
People used to pull the goalie with 1 minute to go.
You were
watching. Yeah, on the broadcast, they were saying, Patrick Waugh, he pulled the goalie with 3-4 minutes.
I'm very impressed.
Minutes.
You were watching the Islander game?
Of course I was watching the
Islander game. On a night of
game.
Knicks Sixers and the NFL draft?
Yeah, I don't
Look
know why
you.
I didn't get... I don't know if I had the Knicks.
You didn't have the Knicks.
I mean, I'm honest. I don't know if I had an option for it.
Because on TNT?
I can only watch what's available on... on the plane.
I got
And the draft and the Islanders were right back to back.
Oh, that made
so
it
I was
easy.
Just kind of like flipping back and forth.
Yeah,
one channel up, one channel down.
I
was waiting for the goalie to get pulled and him to go like full badassery desperation with like 3 or 4 minutes, and it never happened.
Look at that. And so, by the way, I do want to make something clear. I apologize for not addressing this earlier in the show. I've gotten a lot of tweets and a lot of texts. How did the gummy go last night? And I want to clarify, without getting into the individual issues, that when I walked in last night, most nights when I walk in, my kids are tucked in. They're sleeping. It's easy. My wife's even half asleep. Last night, for some real reasons, there was craziness going on in the Roberts household. So I had to take care of my kids. I had a very awkward conversation with Jed about why I hate the Knicks in front of my father-in-law, who loves the Knicks, to which he said, why don't you like the Knicks? Like, Abuelo doesn't mind the Mets and the Nets. Like, he roots for the other New York team. Why not you? And I had to explain, well, because I'm a crybaby little whiny bitch. I didn't say it that way.
Because your daddy is a hater.
Yes.
So and in this little bucket that you're not allowed to taste, it's Haterade.
Right. So I did not have the opportunity to try the gummy last night, but I've got great news. Sunday night, just in time for Rangers Capital. Sunday night, end of the weekend. I'm going full bore into that gummy.
Thank God for drugs.
And I'll give you a full report on Monday, all right? So a little postponement, a little cancellation last night.
You know what, Evan? Why didn't you give your sons the gummy? That way they would have relaxed. I'm serious.
I probably would have been thrown in jail, Loogie.
You're not going to be thrown in jail for giving them marijuana.
Yes,
stop. Give them a little gummy. They go to bed. They calm down. And then mommy and daddy could have a playtime.
So, thank God you don't have kids. Thank the Lord.
If Child Service is listening, I just want to make very, very clear, that is the opinion of Tommy Lugauer, who has no kids and will never have kids. I would never give a gummy filled with freaking marijuana to my 7-year-old, Thomas.
Not marijuana, THC.
Oh, THC, whatever, same thing. I would never do that to my 7-year-old, Thomas.
When we were kids, didn't our parents give us like a warm cup of milk to go to bed? Mm. Same thing.
Mm. No, a little whiskey in the gum is different than a gummy.
Grandpa's cough medicine.
Let's go to Anthony in Harlem. What's up, Anthony?
Gentlemen, what a beautiful football Friday in the city today.
Indeed.
No doubt.
Indeed.
And great catch with Fashanu's mom with the girlfriend. She told her, honey, you'll be gone by Christmas. You just grab the girlfriend.
You're going to get replaced. Sorry.
But I want to talk about this pick. I'm thrilled, guys. This kid arguably is the best pass-blocking left tackle in the draft behind Joe Alt. And you may say he's the left tackle of the future, but he may be the left tackle right now because Tyron Smith, if you remember what the Cowboys did with him, he didn't practice. So this kid is going to practice every day with the ones, and he's going to develop and get better. And if Tyron Smith, I think the best-case scenario is he starts 13 or 14 games, he's still going to start 3 or 4 games with this kid.
No doubt.
I love it.
And the other thing is, like, and we saw this with Andrew Thomas, and we shouldn't forget this, sometimes young left tackles struggle in their rookie year. They don't all just come in and dominate. And I think Andrew Thomas is a great example of it because he wasn't wonderful in his first season. Mm-hmm. So ideally, no, I don't want Fashanu playing 17 games. I want Tyron Smith to be healthy. I mean, that's why they signed him. But for him to get that experience now, get to practice, get to learn from a future Hall of Famer, that's good. And who knows, maybe if he does have to fill in for 2 or 3 games, he doesn't collapse.
Yeah,
so I think this is a good thing overall, not just for the future, but in the short term. It offers protection. It's just the right move. And I know it's not sexy, and sometimes we're addicted to the sexy move, but not all moves need to be sexy.
Well, interestingly, you know, Joe Douglas has done well in bringing in vets, older vets, but they're on 1-year deals. Right?
There's nothing
binding to it. And so the question I'm curious to see play out is whether or not they make this a competition between Tyron Smith and Olu Fashanu. Because if it is, and Fashanu, who, by the way, did not give up a sack in college. Not one.
Isn't that crazy?
Year and 3/4 or so, because he missed a little bit of his junior season, or his penultimate season. Right? I feel like this kid, if given a real opportunity, maybe he beats him out. Right? And maybe you just move on. Like, he becomes an expendable signing this offseason with Tyron Smith, especially if he's not going to practice, as the last caller just said. Right? I want to see how they treat him as a rookie and whether or not they say, take your time, or, dude, we expect you to be able to play. Go win the job.
Yeah, I think you signed Tyron Smith even on an incentive-laden contract for him to play. Yeah. I think it's more.
No, I agree. But if you draft a kid who's better, then.
Well, if he outplays him, I guess.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think the thing with Tyron Smith, and you guys have gotten a chance to see a lot of him in Dallas over the last couple of years, when he plays,
he's
still
dominant.
Damn good.
Yeah,
like,
is.
The question with him is more, can he stay on the field? Which, look, in 2022, he missed 13 games. In 2021, he missed 6 games. In 2020, basically missed the entire season. Last year, he missed 4 or 5 games. So it's really about staying on the field more than he's just not the same player he used to be. But either way, the Jets got better. And they did something smart. And I'm not used to that. That's not a world I'm used to as a Jet fan. And you mentioned earlier about getting another playmaker. Here's the all-in move that I wouldn't mind. You want to float future ones to go after Brandon Ayuk? Let's have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go hard after T. Higgins, who we talked about yesterday? Let's have a conversation. Now, there are some free agents out there. They're not number ones, but they're certainly quality threes. You want to bring in Odell Beckham Jr.? That's fine. So I think there are ways to add more playmakers to this roster. It's not as if they're done.
No. And it's not as if they're desperate, because they actually do have a number one wide receiver and a great running back in Breece Hall.
That's right. Let's go to Kendrick in Suffern. Hey, Kendrick.
Guys, real quick before I get to the draft with the Jets. Ev, the one thing about Kirk Cousins, when you were talking about, they don't owe him anything. And this is a full circle moment for him, because when he came into the league, ironically enough, he was drafted just 2 rounds after they took RG3.
Yeah.
So he kind of knows what it's like to be on the other side of this, too. So I think, you know what? If I'm the Falcons, I have to build trust with him, too, because you can leak that information out. If the agent's not happy with that, then all of a sudden they're blowing up their spot in the draft. So, for me, it's not a Rodgers-Green Bay situation whatsoever. I'm with Tiki on that. But with Fashanu, I am so pumped about this, guys. I think the one thing that I've always appreciated about Douglas and Saleh's leadership for the Jets is that they learn from their mistakes, and obviously they have made some in the past. And what I mean is, last year, they didn't have a plan B for Rodgers. They went out and they got Tyrod Taylor to back him up. This year's offseason big move was Tyron Smith, and they went and they have a plan B, because that's what really got us last year. Our defense was elite. We could have been in the playoffs if we had any functional offensive presence at behind center. And for me, Douglas and Saleh yesterday hit it out of the park. I really wanted the receiver, but that was a luxury. This is going to be a big-time move for us down the road.
No, I agree, Kendrick. And the other thing about the receiver is that Malik Nabers wasn't there.
Yeah.
Roma Dunze wasn't there. Like, as Chicago was on the clock, my thought was, they're probably going to take a Dunze. It just makes sense. They just drafted Caleb Williams. Give him a weapon. Give him a toy. But my thought was, boy, if a Dunze falls, especially, and you had a lot to do with it, Tiki, as high as you were on him for the Giants, my thought was, even though I had preferred the lineman for the reasons I just laid out, I was like, man, if a Dunze's there at 10, I got to think about it. This may change things. Once he's gone, where are you reaching towards? Why not take the best available lineman that's right there in front of you?
Yeah, and honestly, I think you're alluding to what I think actually happened. Once Roma Dunze, because I thought he was going to fall there. I know that that's, you know, a playmaking wide receiver is one of the things that they wanted. As soon as he was gone, you go to plan B, right? It's, all right, plan B is best available. And the best available player left on the draft was Olufashinu. So they made the right decision, and it tells you how, I think, coordinated they were in their plan, right? Your plan gets disrupted on draft day. It always does. Similar to the Atlanta Falcons that we had a conversation about earlier. If you missed it, go rewind it, because it was good. But I think that is the biggest thing with this Jet draft pick. They wanted a receiver, wasn't there. Let's shift right away. Let's not panic and go do something stupid.
Did you want to hear one of our newer songs? You know, we now have become a musical kind of show here on Evan and Tiki, so every once in a while we whip out a new musical classic
What is this one about?
I'm going to tell you before we play it. So earlier in the show, Tiki was referring to, you can rewind on the Odyssey app. We talked a lot about Malik Nabers early in the show, but also a lot about Daniel Jones and the impact of what last night means. They didn't draft a quarterback, but they were trying to trade up and draft a quarterback. And that is a realization that the Giants will eventually move on from Daniel Jones. So we present to you a song about the Giants eventually moving on from Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones, you're not the one we need.
Oh, God.
Your passes miss the mark. Your accuracy recedes. Giants need a leader. Someone who's got it all. Not another interception waiting to fall.
What the hell? Did you like that one?
No, I hated that one.
You hated that one?
Dude, that is pure hateration.
Okay.
On Giants. That feels like I'm a Jet fan who's going to troll the Giants because I have control over the afternoon drive show on WFAN.
No, no,
that's
no,
what
no.
That sounds like.
All right, you know what?
That's terrible.
Can I make
Who
it
did
up?
That? Who did that?
Me. Can I make it up to you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Would you like to hear a song about the special relationship between Tiki Barber and Nate Hackett?
Oh, God.
Would you want to hear that?
Yes, let me hear that.
Ladies and gentlemen, a song about the relationship, friendship, it's very special, between Tiki Barber and Nate Hackett.
Tiki and Nate, best friends forever. Side by side, they're always together on the field or off. They're like brothers, living life with no worries or troubles. They share the bond of trust and respect. Through thick and thin, they always connect. From the critter on to the late night chats, their friendship's stronger than steel bats. Tiki the Barber, with moves so slick on the football field, it's truly a pick. Nate Hackett, the mastermind of the place. Together they dominate in their own ways.
Did you like that one, Tiki?
I love that one.
Okay.
You have to clip that one. Sean, send that to me so I can send it to my best friend, Nate.
All right. We got one more later coming up for you, and it's about Joel Embiid. And I tried to warn you guys, I know Joel Embiid well as anybody. He's a dirty, 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 dirty player. But he shouldn't have been ejected from last night's game.
What?
And I'll explain why, and we'll get into what happened in the Knicks game, plus more of your reaction to what the Jets did, the Giants did, and the Knicks now being in a series with the 76ers. Talk about the Knicks-Sixers series, and I will put my IBO hat on as an independent basketball observer, but I want to apologize right now because what I'm about to say is deeply personal to me. And so I can't be the independent basketball observer I normally am when discussing this series, because this really gets me upset and it gets me angry. Joel Embiid is a dirty, dirty basketball player. I told you that days ago. I think a lot of people already knew that. But maybe for some people listening, that was a first. You're like, oh, I didn't realize that. No, I didn't know he was dirty. I say that from experience. I say that because he's done some really effed up things on a basketball court that you weren't watching. And I understand why you weren't watching it. Your team wasn't involved. But a year ago, that piece of crap, Joel Embiid, the guy that you hate so much right now, just remember, I hated him first. Just remember, he did dirty stuff to my team long before he ever did anything to your team. And this is my point. I'm going to try to make it very, very clear. What he did last night was dirty. Grabbing Mitchell Robinson's leg, absolutely. It was dirty, man. What he did, kind of hammering Iheart and the you-know-whats, it was dirty. He is a dirty player. That's not new. But a year ago, I was in the building for it. Nicholas Claxton, after a play was over, stood over Joel Embiid. He pulled an Allen Iverson, you know, the thing that Philadelphia fans love. And Joel Embiid responded by thrusting his leg up and kicking his testicular region. That happened on a basketball court. It happened after a play was over, and he was not ejected. So I take it very personal when anyone wants to tell me or lecture me about when Joel Embiid should be ejected from a game. They made a decision a year ago to not eject him when he did something, in my humble opinion, maybe a little biased, that was far dirtier. He literally kicked a man in the balls when a play was over. And I'm not over it. And I'll never be over it. And when the association made a decision to not eject him and to not suspend him, then quite frankly, they made a decision that unless he murders somebody on a court, he's not going to be ejected. So do not lecture me about, he tried to injure Mitchell Robinson. I, dude, it was dirty. I agree. That was dirtier.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, when they made that decision a year ago, it would bother me if he was ejected last night. It would I take it personal if he was ejected last night because he should have been ejected a year ago. So understand this, Nick fans. I'm on your side. I'm not your enemy. I hate him more than you hate him. And yeah, that's why I cannot sign off on he should have been ejected because he should have been ejected a year ago. He should have been suspended a year ago, and they didn't do a damn thing. And over my dead body, should they do something last night but not do something a year ago?
It rings of we can't make the best or eject the best player in this series right now, Joel Embiid, who was great last night as an offensive player, scoring, and but as a dirty player. We can't eject the best player in this series and have the Knicks go up 3-0 and then the ratings will tank. Then it becomes uninteresting.
Wow.
Just it becomes uninteresting. Seriously, if the Knicks are up 3-0 and Joel Embiid is not playing in the second half of that game, it becomes an uninteresting series.
So you're accusing the NBA of being a little rigged. Is that what you're saying?
But Evan, they went and looked at it, right?
Yeah.
They went and looked at it. And is this a flagrant one or is this a flagrant two?
Should have been a flagrant two. Is that what you're saying?
He grabbed both of his legs, basically was trying to hurt him in some capacity.
Okay.
How is that not a flagrant
two? I saw him do
it. It's an intentional foul.
I get it. I saw him do worse.
Yes, of course. From your perspective, I agree.
So I take it personal. I saw him do worse.
Yes,
so what was the reason last year? Because nobody gave a crap about the Nets. So it wasn't about that. Mm-hmm. It was that they don't want to eject stars from games.
You know why?
Why?
Because he was winning the MVP last year.
Okay.
I'm giving you the reasons why this is occurring, and he's not being punished appropriately.
You get
star rules, right? And last year he was a superstar. He was the MVP, and they didn't do it. And this year they're trying to protect at least it feels like. I'm not saying they're doing this on purpose. I'm not saying there's a conspiracy because that will require multiple levels of complicity, and I can't prove that. But it feels like if they eject Joel Embiid and the Knicks win and they go up 3-0 in this series, and it's over, right? New York, Philly, the market, two of the biggest markets in this country, it becomes an irrelevant series.
I understand
that. And they can't let that happen.
I understand that perspective. I'm sure there are a lot of Knicks fans that share that perspective. I see a guy that's already proven he can get away with anything on the court. So
yeah,
why change
that's
now?
Fact.
Why
that's
change
fact.
Now? But here's where you need to apologize to me.
Me?
You ready? Yeah. I want you to apologize to me.
Go ahead.
I opened this show because I'm a man of honor, a man of word that said, hey, mm-hmm. Tiki, you were right about J.J. McCarthy. You were right. Now, I was right about a lot of things from last night's game, but there's only one specific thing I want credit for. It's not the role player thing. That has nothing to do with that. It's not Embiid being dirty. It's not the Sixers will do better on the offensive glasses. None of that about being right. It's the idea that 2 days ago, Nick Nurse made a decision. And his decision was, I'm going to file a complaint to the NBA about the officiating. We all knew it was a baby move, but I explained it as a smart move, as a Phil Jacksonian kind of move. Mm-hmm. And then what we witnessed last night, and I'm not going to go through every foul, but what I will give the Knicks fan is they got to the line 33 times. Joel Embiid got to the line 21 times, and you got to the line 19 times. That game was officiated very differently last night, and you want to know why? And I know I can't prove it, but you want to know why?
Yes.
Because they made a stink about the officiating. It's a Phil Jackson playbook move. And here's my advice. Again, because I'm the IBO now, I will be very independent. You know what I would do if I'm the New York Knicks? I would file a complaint this morning. That's what I would have done. I'd respond. I'd say, okay, you want to play two? Want to have some fun? And I would file the complaint of nothing be called Embiid when he made contact with iHeart. I'd use that. I'd use many of the moments where Joel got to the line. And look, that may sound like I'm being a baby. I'm not being a baby. I'm evaluating. The Sixers did something strategic a few days ago. Mm-hmm. You guys, Knicks fans, responded with their babies. And I said, maybe they are, but there's a reason behind why they're doing it. And now I'm suggesting you should do the same thing. Because the Sixers got the whistle last night, similarly to how you got the whistle down the stretch in game two. And if you want to play this game, play the game.
Yeah, I feel like I think we're getting to the point where NBA officials need to wear earbuds, right? Like soundproof. You know the things you have to wear when you're on TV and it blocks out? Well, actually, you guys don't know this because you've never done it. But if you're on the sideline of it, I'm being honest.
That was
honest,
very arrogant.
It's not even that. I just know you haven't done it. If you're on the sideline of an NFL field,
yes,
you can't hear Jack.
Right.
And so you have to have these like noise-canceling headphones, you know, just like these, but it fully blocks your ear. So you hear nothing except for what's coming into the stream. I feel like NBA officials have got to the point where they need to have those things. They need to they need to be able to block out the noise.
You think the crowd affects it?
I think the crowd affects it. I think the nonsense of players bitching and moaning at them affects it. Like, all of that. So if they could find a way, and this way they can communicate. Like, someone can be saying things to them if they need to. But it blocks out all of the ambient noise. Because how else do you explain that unless they are fully being influenced by the home court?
Yeah, I think there's truth.
It's a shame, right? It should come down to the basketball, to the things that are actually happening, not the emotion that's permeating at a specific arena.
There is truth to that. I think that the bitching in this series from both sides has been very tough to watch.
Yeah.
The New York Knicks and the Philadelphia 76ers are filled with crybabies. And I know that's uncomfortable to hear because you think they're crybabies and they think you're crybabies. I'm telling you right now, you're both a bunch of crybabies. I mean, the crying after every whistle and non-whistle is just, it happens constantly. But the reason why Philadelphia won last night, a couple of reasons. Number one, their role players stepped up. I mean, Cameron Payne showed up. It wasn't Buddy Hield like we talked about. He barely played. It was Cameron Payne. It was Kelly Oubre. It was the fact the Sixers would not miss in the third quarter. It's the fact that Philadelphia did a great job of attacking Jalen Brunson. They know the size disadvantage Jalen has, and they attacked him, and they hunted him, and they did a great job of doing that. Joel Embiid was a beast. We could talk all we want about how dirty he is, and I agree with you. He's a dirty, dirty, dirty player, who now we find out has Bell's palsy. We'll address that in a couple of minutes. But the Knicks lost that game because the Philadelphia 76ers outplayed them. But the ancillary stuff, the bitching, the whining, the whistle game, the dirtiness of Joel Embiid, it has now become the series, even if that's not why the Knicks had damage applied to them yesterday.
I've heard enough. You are absolutely incredible. Your reasoning for why Embiid shouldn't have been tossed last night, and number one, he should have been, is the fact that he did it to your team last year and wasn't tossed. What does that have to do with anything?
It shows you the bar that's been set for him. And it's not just my team. He's done dirty things to other teams. Like, you're not unique because you're watching the NBA playoffs for the first time. Not you, but you're not unique to that. So, yes, it's my team, but it's something he's done for a while, and he hasn't gotten ejected, so it's not special because it's you.
He went after the guy's nads twice. He punched Ihard. He kicked Mitch. He hurt Mitchell Robinson.
Should he have been ejected last year?
I don't care about last
year. Okay, but you
have
to
care. And I don't think what that has to do with this year.
It does.
No, it doesn't.
The bar has been set. He doesn't get ejected.
Because they've set a precedent. The reason, what he's saying is they've set a precedent regarding.
So the precedent is this guy could go around and kick everybody in the nuts.
Correct. Yeah,
no, that's the precedent that's been set. He should have been tossed from the game.
Should have been tossed last year?
Yes.
You can continue to say you don't care and you don't pay attention. That just proves my point. That's okay.
The answer is yes.
Thank you, Tiki. I appreciate that.
But your idea that we're crying over that and we should have been crying for you last year, to me, makes no sense.
I never said you should have cried for me last year. I'm saying
that's
that.
What you're saying.
No, I'm saying he should have been ejected last year, and the bar has been set on what it takes for him to be ejected.
So the league is putting Joel Embiid over the safety of its players.
Yeah, they've been doing that for years. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Welcome. Well, they shouldn't.
Welcome to the NBA playoffs. Nice to see you. You're back.
He should have been tossed.
Okay.
He should be suspended. He should be thrown out of the league. It's an embarrassment. No, he's an embarrassment to the NBA. He sits around and cries all game long, and he deliberately goes after people's manhood, and then he ripped, you know, Mitchell Robinson's ankles from him while he's jumping, and now Mitch is hurt.
No, I know. Welcome to the NBA. Is your first time watching? Cool.
No. But you know,
it is an entertainment business.
Come on,
I'm just saying, it is an entertainment business.
We're
if
all
Joel
guys
Embiid
here.
Is not playing, then we're not. Then nobody's watching.
There are certain things that make you an absolute punk, and kicking anybody in their manhood is number one on that list.
Yeah, no, it happened last year, and he wasn't ejected.
Full heel.
Yeah, no, he's full heel, but the bar has been set, and I get it. It happened to your team. It happened to your player, and you take it personal. I know that. It's why I don't like the guy. He's a dirty player, but let's not act like this is the first time, and let's not act like there have been harsher penalties for him in the past, because there has not been. This is not new.
So why can't they right or wrong? Just because they didn't do it last year, why can't they this year go, you know what? We can't just let this guy go around, run amok every single game he's out there, tripping people, kicking people, tearing at people's ankles when they jump. Yeah, they didn't do it last year. So what? So two wrongs now make a right?
It's not about two
Toss
wrongs making
his
a
ass.
Right. I know. You're very desperate.
No, not desperate. He's desperate. He's desperate.
He's desperate. Then he backed up by dropping 50 on
he
your
asses.
He
should have been in the game.
Yeah, but he dropped 50 on you.
Okay, great. Congrats.
I mean, yeah, yes, congrats.
He's a great basketball player. Doesn't mean he's not a dirty player.
I've said a million times he's a dirty player.
I don't think you're arguing. I don't think you guys are actually arguing.
We're not.
You're saying the same thing.
He's just angry that I'm talking about the Knicks, basically.
That has nothing to do with it. I'm angry because
you're looking to fight me all the time about this.
No,
here's the problem, Luke. You think he's excusing Joel Embiid. He's not. He's actually doubling the hate. He's doubling the issue with Joel Embiid.
Yeah, I hate him more than you.
It happened a year ago.
I hate him more than you. I do. And you know what's funny? 6 months ago, you included, we're all pining for this guy. Oh, the Sixers may trade Joel Embiid. I can't wait. You're pining for this guy. And in 3 months, if the Sixers blow it up, you'll be pining for him again.
I don't need a history lesson.
I
don't need a history lesson.
Well, that's the truth.
I went to high school 20-plus years ago. I don't need to go to history
The history is of the last 6 months. You guys were pining for this guy.
Bottom line is,
he's a dirty player. He's been a dirty player forever.
Yeah, but if he's a dirty player on your team and you get away with it, that's okay.
Yeah, you know what that's called?
Right?
You know what that's called, Tiki? It's called rooting for the 90s. Knicks, another team they glorify.
Okay, show me any footage of where Anthony Mason or Charles Oakley kicked somebody in the nuts.
Oh.
You won't find it.
I can find that easily.
They were men, and they punched people in the face and threw them into the fourth row.
Well, that's the second part. So last night, there was one Nick that got in his face. Only one that I noticed, and that's Dante DiVincenzo, who did not have the greatest night last night, but he got in his face. Sometimes, to quote Clint Capella, what you gonna do about it? And look, I'll be the first to tell you, my team did nothing. They did nothing. And you know what I did to the five people that cared? I screamed and yelled about it and said, you're gutless, do something about it. So now, because I'm fair, I'm going to say the same damn thing. What are you going to do about it? What are the Knicks going to do about it? What did you do last night about it other than allow him to drop 50 on all your asses? What are you going to do about it? To quote Clint Capella. Floor is yours. You tell me what you're going
to
do about it.
Well, last night I wanted Precious to come in the game and literally punch Embiid in the face. But I'm telling you what they're going to do about it. They're going to beat him. We're not going to lower ourselves to the scum in Philly and Embiid, and we're not going to play their game.
Okay.
We are going to beat them on the basketball court because this is what Embiid wants. He wants us to lower ourselves to his level. Not going to do that. Going to beat him on the court. Going to beat him in the series.
Go do it then. That's what you got to do because they didn't do it last night. And look, it's not the end of the world. We talked about this yesterday, Tiki. The Knicks still have control of this series. The pressure is still on Philadelphia. But last night, they had a chance. They had a halftime lead. And look, the reason they lost, besides Philadelphia role players stepping up the way they didn't do at Madison Square Garden, is defensively, they couldn't stop them in the third quarter. They lost this game for basketball reasons. Strategically, they could not stop them. We got a bounce-back performance by Jalen Brunson. Not surprised by that. But you needed more defensively, especially in that third quarter. You needed to slow down Joel Embiid. You didn't do it. And that's why the Knicks are now in a dogfight with Philadelphia 2-1.
They hit every shot, the Sixers. I think that's unfair to say the Knicks couldn't stop them.
They couldn't stop them.
No, the Sixers could not miss.
Okay, well, it's a combination of both.
Yeah.
I mean,
the same thing happened for the Knicks at home. So it's so what do we say? At home, you're just going to shoot and not miss better than you do on the road? That's kind of a fact. It's exactly what Evan was saying about the role players, and I guess it applies to others as well. Just it's easier at home for whatever reason. It's just easier at home. And last night, the New York Knicks, what else could they have done? The answer is not much, right? Especially because Joel Embiid didn't look hampered like he did in the previous
I think what's so scary about Embiid, and I say this with respect for his basketball, is that he's unstoppable at times. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is an unstoppable force when he's out there. But I think what I would do next is I am filing a report. I'm playing the game the Sixers played. I have to. That's what I would do if I'm the Knicks. And it's not lowering myself. It's they worked the officials. That's what they did by complaining about game two. They worked them. And we argued about it. What's it going to do, Evan? What happens? Well, I think you saw what happens.
Yeah,
I manipulate them. And I think it's time for Tom Thibodeau and the New York Knicks to actually lower themselves to what the Sixers did and file a complaint. Who cares about the PR?
The only challenge with that, Evan, is that the 76ers got the benefit of a heavily pro-Sixer two-minute report.
Mm-hmm.
And the Knicks aren't going to get that because all of this issues, they happen in the other 46 minutes.
No, but I think you call question of that if you're Tom Thibodeau.
Of course you do. But there's no like league-produced report to point to and say, this, look, you even said that we got screwed. The Knicks can't say that. They can say, yeah, you didn't call these fouls. You adjudicated this incorrectly. You let Joel Embiid get away with murder. But the league's not admitting that. They admitted it with Tyrese Maxey in game two. And therefore, it gave Nick Nurse the ammunition and the bullets to go take his shot. The Knicks don't have that yet.
Let's get to some of your calls. Anthony in Staten Island. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Listen, Evan, I love you to death, dude. You're giving off 6-year-old selfish vibes right now who didn't get their way. Because while Embiid didn't get thrown out, I saw that game against what he did against Claxton.
Yeah.
He 100% should have got thrown out.
Thank
now,
you.
If the roles were reversed, Evan, and I saw that first and then saw the Claxton play and he got thrown out on your play but not my play, I would 100% be happy that he got thrown out. I'd root for him to get thrown out.
Here's the truth, Anthony. Anthony, you're right. No, you're right about something you said. And that's why I prefaced that discussion, because I always want to be honest with you. I prefaced that with discussion by saying, I'm not an IBO right now. This is the one moment where I'm gonna walk away, and I'm going to tell you my opinion, and it comes from a bitter, pissed off at Joel Embiid world that I'm in. So you're right. I'm an angry 6-year-old. He should have been ejected last year. I screamed about it. It pained me. It angered me. It was awful. And now I look at it and say, I don't want him ejected for something that wasn't as bad. Because I think what he did last night, while really bad, was not as bad. So you're right. You penned it perfectly. Every other discussion about this series, when it comes to the officiating, when it comes to what the Sixers did well, what the Knicks did well, what I would do in terms of retaliating with the officials, I'm an IBO, whether you believe it or not. But when it comes to that punk, that 7-foot punk, Joel Embiid, to quote you, Loogie, it's personal.
Evan, how could you say what he did last night was not worse? He went after two guys, Junk.
I'll tell you what.
And purposely hurt Mitchell Robinson.
I'll tell you why. No, I'm going to tell you why.
So three different instances.
I'm going to tell you why. Because what he, and don't take this as defending what he did. Because again, I want to make this clear. I hate him more than you do. Okay, I'll win that contest 9 times out of 10. It's more personal with me than it is with you. This is new for you. You guys were flirting with him 5 months ago. So don't get me started. I hate him more before I say what I'm about to say. The plays in question from last night were as the game was going on. So Joel is on the ground. The ball is loose, or Mitch has it, and he grabs him. He's trying to foul him, which is actually a smart play because Mitch is a terrible free throw shooter. Okay. And he grabs his leg. Purpose or not, yeah, he's trying to do something as a basketball play was happening. What he did last year was after the whistle had blown. There was no play. It was over for a while. And yet he lifted his giant leg and he kicked a man's balls, not potentially by accident, not while a basketball game was going on, while it was over. It was worse. And quite frankly, it's not even close.
So in Evan Roberts' NBA, I could take a sledgehammer onto the court, hit a guy in the face as long as the whistle wasn't blown yet. That's what you're saying. Who cares if the play's going on? He still kicked both guys in the
No. I'm saying on the play with Mitch, he's trying to foul him. Now, you can't grab the guy's leg. It's terrible. But it makes sense that as Mitch is going up, you're trying to foul him so he goes to the free throw line. Even you'd admit that. That's a smart play.
No, it's not a smart play.
You should foul
Mitch. It's a dangerous play.
Thank you, T.D.
When you're on the ground and you're Joel Embiid, what should you do?
You know what?
Answer the question. What should you do?
You give up the layup.
No, you try to foul.
Because guess what? Next time Embiid goes up, someone could take him out. That's BS and you know it. There should be some honor among thieves a little bit. There's hard fouls and then there's dirty ass plays trying to hurt a guy.
It was dirty ass. It wasn't as dirty as the play I'm talking about from a year ago. And I admit this. It's personal. I don't like Joel Embiid. In fact, Tiki, you know how much I don't like Joel Embiid?
Tell me.
Want to hear a song?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is a song about how dirty Joel Embiid actually is.
Haters gonna hate, but you know what we see. A player on the court acting dirty and cheap. Joel Embiid, it's time to take a seat. Your dirty game is leaving us in disbelief. You elbow to the face. Throwing punches in the crowd.
Actually, I haven't done that yet.
The dirtiest game. It's your way to get loud. But I'll see through your tricks, your fouls that you hide. I'm tired of your antics. It's time to turn the tide.
United. There you go. See? I hate Joel Embiid.
Right. Who is the singer on these songs?
I can't tell you.
It's like a boy band from the 90s.
Knicks fans want to yell at me, but trust me, I hate this guy more than you do. Lenny in Levittown. What's up, Lenny?
Ev, Teak, what's going on?
All's good, dude.
What's up, man?
Ev, I love you.
Yeah.
But I cannot believe what you're saying. I cannot believe that you're saying Joel Embiid should not have been thrown out of yesterday's game because last year he kicked Claxton in the groin.
That's correct.
What's the worst? What's the worst thing that could happen to Nick Claxton in that situation? Question.
I never have kids.
Okay, sure. Some might say kids are overrated. What's the worst thing that could have happened to Mitchell Robinson? His career could have ended. He could have possibly ended somebody's career with that type of injury last year. And if the roles are reversed, there's not a question in anybody's mind that Mitch is not only kicked out of that game, but if he goes on and injures Joel Embiid and he has to walk off in an air boot, he's probably suspended for the
next. By the way, you're right, Lenny, and I thought the same thing last year. Mm. I am bitter. Dude, I don't like him. He's a dirty, dirty player, and he's been doing this crap for years. So I'll be very blunt with you. If they didn't take him out last year, if they didn't take him out in 2019, I'd be damned if they're going to take him out now. Because he's been effing with me for a half a decade.
This is not about you.
No, it is.
No, it's not.
No, I admit it. I'm telling you it's personal. You should know better than anybody. You sit here and say, it's personal with the Yankees. Well, it's never over until it's over. Dude, I can't stand him. He is dirty. I've been telling you this for years. So I'm sorry. When I see him get away with the crap he's gotten away with, if he got ejected from last night's game, what I would have said is, ah, he finally had it coming, but why didn't it happen a year ago?
That's my
point. And why didn't it happen 5 years ago?
You should want justice. You should band with your fellow New York brethren and be happy that this guy finally gets what he deserves, and he shouldn't be able to just run amok and cry about fouls on his end and go around kicking everybody in the junk and trying to basically end Mitchell Robinson's career because he needed to foul him. That's crap.
No, no.
Let somebody else foul him that was on their feet.
So, again, I want to walk you through this again. And, Tiki, you tell me what you do here. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've seen the play. Mitch Robinson is going up with the basketball.
Yes.
Joel is on the ground. He's falling down.
He has. He grabs one leg, and then he grabs a second leg.
Dirty as hell, by the way. But
of course it is.
But he's trying to foul, which he should try to do, so that Mitch actually has to go to the free throw line, where he's a 48% free throw shooter.
But he's also trying to hurt him. And if you get to the point where you're trying to hurt somebody else, it's time to rail on him. And I don't mean yell at him. I mean, somebody should have come in and got on Joel Embiid. The problem is people are scared of Joel Embiid. Because he's 7 feet tall and he's massive.
Well, that's a very fair point. Who should have done it? I mean, Dante DiVincenzo got in his face.
Yeah,
but maybe Mitch should have gotten up and pushed him.
Yeah, he gives up, what, 8 inches and 200 pounds?
He gives up a lot, yes.
There's no chance he's doing it. Look, Lugie talks about the dogs and dudes on the Knicks, but there's no dirty dogs and dudes, right?
They've had some dirty plays. Josh Hart got ejected from the game. That was kind of dirty.
I'm talking about a guy who's going to fight you.
Oh,
a guy you don't want to see in a dark alley.
Right.
Right? Joel Embiid, you don't want to see in a dark alley.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.